Once again, good morning to all of you. I'm sure you can perhaps notice that in the sound of my voice, it's kind of good that it's Friday. I'm going down a bit, but God has revived me well enough through the night that I think I'll make out all right. If you can handle the roughness of my voice. All right, the crisis this morning, the crisis of the Christian continues. And this morning we have the crisis of authority. The crisis of authority. Let us turn our Bibles to Romans 14. Oh, let's see here. I think it's starting to read in verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Wherefore, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. To this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living. And then, if we could turn back to James, maybe keep your finger there, and James chapter 4, we have in verse 13, go to now, ye that say today and tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And now you rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Our Eternal Father, with thanksgiving and rejoicing, we do come to you as we open the Word of God again this morning and seek the inspiration of the Spirit of God to fall upon us to be able to deliver the Word as it has been given to us. We thank you for the accurate translations that have come to us. And here we stand so long a time since it was written and spoken, and now we have it in our own language, and I pray for wisdom and understanding to be able to have the right wisdom and interpretation of your word, and be able to present the burden of our hearts again this morning in the fear of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The crisis of authority. Now, it is very obvious by the scriptures that we have read here before you this morning, both sections and many others, that we cannot live to ourselves and we cannot and shall not die to ourselves. We are bought with a price. We belong unto the Lord. And so there is a very strong aspect here where I hope you understand that all of us are under authority. We can say, well, we'd like to go west for a couple of years and buy and sell and get gain and do something different and all that. But it is imperative, once again, that we always keep in focus, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. So it means that all of us, no matter what age we are, what office we have in the church, or in work, or whatever, bring the things, the doings of our life under the authority of God and submit it before Him and say, what would you like, Lord? What do you want for me? If it's your will, I would like to, I'm thinking about doing a given venture or doing something, be it secular or spiritual. But we pray that it should be according to your divine will. So many, I've heard already of people praying, Lord, I hope that you agree with me in what I want to do. Not good. It's rather better to just lay your life out on the line and have a sweet submission there in the same way that we ask of you in the home, in the church, and in other areas of life. Sometimes I think you think, some of you might think that we're not under authority, and there are certainly many professing Christians that appear not to be. And that's not good. But all of us are basically under authority. We should have, by now, declared Him to be the Lord of our life, and we desire with all our heart to submit unto Him. But once again this morning, I do desire not to dwell too much on the negative. Even though this matter of authority is without doubt a crisis situation. But I would like this morning to just lift up some good practical and good principle in how to flesh this out, you might say, in a real way in our life and not just take three quarters of my time to talk to you how bad this crisis of authority is. I hope you know it is. How bad it is. And in our world today, being at the age where I am, it is very difficult to see what I see. Now, I've come through the rebellion of the 60s, the hippie movement, the disillusionment of authority and the rebellion against it, and just simply young people, it spread like wildfire across the United States. And then throughout the years, it has gradually worsened. And until we understand today that it actually seems that there are many who actually despise authority. Look at what's happening with our police. Yesterday again, a man shot two of them here in western Pennsylvania, killed the one and wounded the other. Then he shot his wife and shot himself. And this stuff is just going on all the time. Here of late, in the last couple of weeks, there's just a ambush, a point blank going up, seeing a policeman sit in a cruiser and killing, trying to kill him. We have never seen such anarchy and such despising of authority that if a person just wears a uniform, he is already targeted by numerous individuals to think that he should be wiped off the face of the earth. Imagine. So we could speak a lot in the struggle of employers. I have been an employer for quite a few years, and there is a constant complaint there of trying to find good workers, good men, people who will submit to what they are asked to do and do it with a smile and do it with ambition. One of the companies I'm associated with hired a man the other day, and he was kind of bumbling around there, you know, trying to do some of what he was told, and finally said, this is too much like work, and walked off. And that happens over and over again. It's a real struggle. Right now, there are so many help wanted signs and help wanted ads here in our area that anybody who would have a desire to work and wouldn't have a lot of expertise in any given trade could walk into 10 places and probably be hired pretty easy if he would be a clean young fellow and would have a desire to just be under authority and simply do what he's told to do and do it in a good and upright way. It's on all levels. It's just on all levels of society in general. But the most alarming thing is the fact that how this thing has crept in to the body of Christ, the church. And we have individuals who chafe under the whole concept of authority. They just want to be free, and we realize there's a section of the church that has just cried liberty and freedom and you know, no condemnation and doing whatever that we feel like doing, and it doesn't matter. And so whenever authority rises up, in this case, in the home or in the church, people begin to chafe and to grumble and complain and rebel and not agree with it and contest it and all those things. And I hear the cries of ministers all around the country on the difficulty it is to be in authority. In fact, if you want to take inventory in the last 10, 15 years of the amount of men in office, ordained, that have left the ministry because of the burden of this thing and the difficulty, and have come back and said they won't listen to me. I just got word last night of another one who stepped down in the Midwest. He just said they won't listen to me, and I'm done. And he left and resigned. And a man I've known for quite a few years. And this just goes on and on. Other people move to other communities and try to start over and try to start fresh, only to find the same thing there and not knowing what to do. Well, this is a crisis. This is undoubtedly a crisis. But let me hasten on to tell you that there are extremes of authority that are very difficult for you. I acknowledge that. I say, want to say very openly and very candidly to you, if you find yourself in an authority that is abusive to you as a person or maturing in your faith, please come and talk to a counselor and get some wisdom in the very difficult and sticky situation that you might be in. Because I, as a counselor and minister over the years, have run into this over and over again. And it's out there where young people are being taken advantage of in their faith and even otherwise in a personal manner by authorities that are over them. And it is just really sad. And there's a crisis there that we recognize, and we have to find our way through it. What we're here to say, that if for someone like this, and I'm hearing over and over again that in Bible schools people are taking closed-eye surveys of abusive or oppressive situations, that young people are totally distraught and don't know what to do and how to go forward, that they raise their hand, like I say, in a closed-eye meeting, or are made to offered to give secret counsel or contact concerning it. And so I'm here to say I know that exists. And when I speak of the authority today, I recognize there are some very, very difficult situations. We have just, like I say, had a number of them, and I do not profess that we have done all of them right. I know one thing: in the case where we have had to help people away from their religious oppressive church and home, where they're united like they are in the colonies in the Midwest and in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and different places, we have tried to help people to leave those situations where they have to leave the home if they leave the church, because, you know, it's not workable for them to stay there and submit to the home if they're not going to submit to the wrong church either. But what we do is to have them, as soon as that happens, turn around and try to build bridges in every way possible with the family and parents. And we have succeeded, I would say, at least a high 90% of the time in that. That by the time marriage came around, we had a blessing from the parents. And even for being here, we've had blessings. One mother said it this way: "Oh, if I only would have had the chance that you did." And so we got a blessing that was beyond the expectation at times. But it was because we tried to handle it biblically and do it right as much as we could. But this crisis thing has crawled into the church in a very, very deep and concerning manner. We sometimes hardly know how to function. There is two groups of people, and I believe they're in this room, and I won't dare say and won't even begin to say what percentages, who are in different camps on the matter of authority. I want you to know, in the experience that we have had, although we don't want to make any boast in that, is that it is quite obvious. It is quite obvious on your life, on your behavior, on your face, on your outward appearance, on your spiritual interests. All those things kind of paint a picture that we can tell many times where you're at on the matter of authority. And you may have had a bad experience. You may have are still struggling to try to find your way in this matter. But we would like to say there, it's a crisis among us. We cannot just point out there and talk about the crisis, although it's horrible out there, I have to say, in the general evangelical church. Like one sister told me, hearing a powerful message the other night, and just like that, 70% were youth in the audience. And just like that, everybody went to the basement and started the games and playing ping pong and what have you, you know, right after hearing a powerful message, not even giving enough time to let it soak in and redirect the person's life. That is sad. And it's really hard for preachers, and they can sense that. And so they feel like, what's the use? Why do I get up there and prepare and waste my breath and strength? And they have no interest really in what I'm saying. Crisis of authority. We're in a crisis of authority. Parents have the problem. And there again, they don't do everything perfect. But I wish I could share with you and have the time to share with you how I experienced in life when I walked away from my family and my religion as far as church is concerned, and yet obeyed my dad and worked with him with his horses. And I drove a car. They allowed me to do that graciously. But I could have had tractors and modern equipment and electricity and all those things. And I submitted there until I got married that way. And I've never regretted it, because it continued a relationship that the entire family followed me out of that situation in a few years. And so by that time, I had won some of their confidence. They saw the change in my life. And my next sister, when I got married to my dear wife, she said, "I want a wedding like that." And she not according to the tradition that she was brought up in. So but what we'd like to say here is, having said all that, that we know there are extremes, we know there are oppressive situations there, just like we find in the government. We find a lot of laws today that were written because of such a chaotic breaking of them out there, where we wouldn't have needed them. You know, the law was made for the lawless and for men stealers and for wicked people, not for people who had a conscience and tried to live right. And so, but we find ourselves under oppressive laws today that were brought about simply because of the wickedness of humanity. Consider the fact going through an airport and having to take your shoes off. All because of one man in the world who had a bomb in his shoe. Now millions, countless millions of us have to take our shoes off in order to go through security. It's just the way it is. But what I'd like to say here this morning, that even in the church, what we call the church, and I would say it's a very extant in some of the Anabaptist groups, that there is so much deceit, dishonesty, and hiding going on. Children are sneaking things into their bedrooms and hiding them from their parents. If their parents would have any idea what you have and what you're doing and what you're listening to, and even in some cases stuffing clothes into a bag and going to a gas station or another place, changing over into the other clothes and then back again before you go home. And there are things like that going on all over the place. A disrespect and dishonesty to authority. Well, that is sad. That is very sad. But I want to tell you and introduce to you this morning that there's a whole other way to live. I'm excited about that way. I have a number of adopted grandchildren in the room here this morning. And I've had a lot of them through the years, and have had an amazing relationship with many of them, equal to anything I could have had naturally. And the secret of the whole thing is that there's such an openness and a transparency. We can sit down, being 50 years apart in age or something like that. We can discuss anything. We can ask questions. We can give counsel. We can love each other and have just a beautiful relationship that I can hardly describe to you. Not having many children, only having one child myself, this has filled a vacuum in my own life and my wife likewise that we have greatly, greatly enjoyed. And I wish I could actually show you how some of that has worked over the years and the experience that that has been in reality to us. And I believe that that's what God would have from us. Doesn't have to be an adoption here like I sense and feel many have had with many. And I've tried to fill the role of a grandparent or even a parent in some cases when parents have been unbelievers or lived many miles away for some reason or other. But this is what God would have for us. A loving, respectful honor of authority. Now, like I say, we're under authority too. I can say with a Roman centurion, I'm a man under authority. And I say to people, do this or don't do that, but I'm also a man under authority with God of the scriptures that I read. No man liveth to himself or dieth to himself. We are the Lord's, we're bought with a price, and we too are under authority. Though I have to say, as we have matured in our life through the years, we do not bump up against the authorities in our life near like we would have perhaps at some point in our life. And that's Christian growth, and I do not expect perfection there. But if you could experience what I know a number of young people here, and there's quite a number of you that I know that are under authority in a beautiful way, have a good relationship with your parents, a good relationship with your ministers and with your church, and with the community, with the jobs you young men have. And I tell you, it shines a bright light that is, you need sunglasses for, nearly. It's a beautiful thing, and we love it, and we enjoy it. If you would know like the scripture teaches about keeping yourself unspotted, or how's the other verse that talks about not making trouble, or those kind of verses, you know, that are in the New Testament. When that is in place, the peace that comes into a home and into a church, when nothing is hidden from mom and dad, everything is open, counsel is asked about whether they should wear this or buy that or go here or go there, and there's nothing done in the dark, nothing done hidden. The family sits around in a circle, discusses anything and everything in an open manner, and there's not that spirit of separation between young and old. And I don't like that. We pick it up, we sense it in a minute. If that's the way you're living, and we sense it here. Us teachers sense it. There are youth that go through our Bible school that we never meet. They never say a word. They never shake our hand. They're off with their little group of peers or what have you, or their special friends, and it's like we don't exist. Well, they sit here and they listen to us and they have their opinions about what we're saying, and some is good and some not so good, and some is positive and some is negative and all that to what we're trying to present and do here. But then there's another crowd that is just so respectful and honorable, and just a word here or a smile there or catching an eye there that gives the approval and the blessing that everything is in order and under authority. And I can prophesy very easily and predict that I think that's the way it is in your home, and that's probably the way it is in your church, and your ministers feel that and know that at home, and we feel it here, and it just permeates the air around you. You probably have no idea how that can be read by other people, but it's very easy to read after you have some experience in it. Now, there are some of you who can hide pretty well and put a pretty good front up, and yet underneath there is a spirit of rebellion and disagreement, and maybe we don't catch it or see it up front. But by and by, it will expose itself and it will do its damage in your life, I promise you, one way or another. I encourage the visitation. I encourage no generation gap. I encourage to be able to sit down and have discussions, and like we had afterwards here in Brother Rick's message, in a large group of young men gathered around, and I'm sure there's a number of others that wish you could have been in the middle of it to hear them. And that's good. That's a blessing. And I just say, forgive us if we don't sit among you enough in student times, and we have some other responsibilities, or sit with our wives or whatever when they come at mealtime. But it's just such a blessing to have a visit. But I'm talking about an overall picture at home, how we appreciate young people to come and visit and sit down and chat with us and ask questions. But I just want to say this, in some of our experience, don't be a know-it-all. Don't come in and talk in a blue streak about how you see everything. In respect and honor of older people, it is good for you to be a bit more reserved in your opinions, even though we all have our opinions. But instead, we ask questions and try to sort through what the mature men and women have experienced and have known. That is valuable to you, and we love it on our part and can never get enough of it, it seems like. Take trips together. I encourage that. I believe in the generation, and I see quite a bit of that, and I've had a wonderful experience in the last 3-4 years of taking about a dozen young people to Europe twice, and to Western Canada and Central Canada, a singing and preaching tour. And I cannot begin to tell you what a blessing that was. We all drove together in a big van, for the most part, or two cars, maybe in Germany, and many conversations, and we were just open and free, and were able to travel together and talk together, eat and sleep together in that way. And that was just a real delight. I encourage those kind of things. I know in some of your mission trips or your catastrophic response trips and cleanups and floods and hurricanes and earthquakes and things like that. A lot of young men will go with a few older men and go for 2 weeks and those kind of things. And that is just a wonderful thing for all of us to do, where we learn to interact and not have this generation gap and think we have to be with a certain age group and certain peer group. It's like the old illustration we can give, you know. If a man is down in a pit, what do you do to get him out? Well, it's not a good idea to jump down in the pit with him and try to lift each other up to find a way out, but it's so much better when one stays at the top and reaches down and gets the hold of the hand of the other and lifts him up. And that's what should be happening in our interaction with ages. We older ones should be reaching down and helping you up out of it. I'm not saying you're all in a pit. That's not my idea. It's just that due to lack of experience, you may be at a little different level or different understanding, and we can help each other. But I want to let you know that we learn from you too. Anyone who is a mature brother or sister in the Lord has the Spirit of God within and has wisdom to give at times that will reach all ages. Thank you for that. Projects of any kind, the same at home. Do not just make them exclusively youth projects, but let parents and other authorities, ministers and what have you, be included in it. I mean, this is so bad in some churches and some religious groups. You can't imagine. I've been in places in Anabaptist groups where a brother was ordained and the other brother lived close by, very close by, and never did that minister set foot in his brother's house. We have girls that many times, you know, they follow the fads a little bit and they know the minister doesn't like them. And when they meet, they try to quickly cover them up and pull their puffy sleeves down or whatever, so that until he's passed, you know, and doesn't see what we look like or what we're doing, so that we don't get into trouble or what have you. There are people who live like this all the time. There's so much hiding going on like that, and just a discomfort with each other. He's in authority, and I'm whoever I am, and we are afraid, so afraid of our authorities and have no relationship whatsoever with them. We wouldn't think of talking to them unless we're in trouble. And then he comes to visit and comes to try to correct us or straighten us out. And we don't like that, so we have just an estranged, strained relationship. That is not good. Not good at all. You know, I think of Cain. When Cain brought his offering from the field, and apparently he knew the rules, very, very clear that he would have known the rules, and God didn't accept his offering. And Abel, his brother, brought the right one, the shedding of blood, brought a lamb out of the flock, and it was accepted. Oh, Cain was wroth. He was so upset, and he started grumbling and complaining. The standards are too high. Why can't he accept me where I am? We hear those kind of things today. Why can't he just accept me where I am, you know? Instead of expect some kind of... And you hear words they want me to be a certain way in order for them to accept me, you know, and they should just accept me right where I'm at. Well, there's a place for that in the very, very early stages of Christianity. But once the rules are clearly understood of the home or the group or the church or whatever, I have to say with God, Cain, why are you so upset? If you do well, won't you be accepted? Yeah, you know that Cain could have very quickly, and perhaps, I don't know how much time God would have given him to do it. He could have quickly went over to his brother Abel, got a lamb, made some exchange for it with his grain or whatever. Sheep eat grain, that's no problem. And could have made an exchange there, brought back quickly, made the right sacrifice. Everything would have been history. He'd have been accepted and everything was fine. But he was angry. He was upset that he wasn't accepted, not coming up to the standard. Well, what more can we expect? God has standards. Homes have standards. Churches have standards. And you shouldn't be kicking against them and thinking, why don't they accept me? And why don't they accept me when I'm living in disobedience to them? But anyway, what a blessing it is. I love that message and love those words. Cain, if thou doest well, won't thou be accepted? Surely you would have. But if not, sin lieth in the door. I would say the same to all of us. If you continue in your separation, rebellion, and estrangement from authority, then sin lieth at the door. And it's like a lion that lies beside you, ready to jump on you, and crouching right beside you. Sin lies at the door of those that live in opposition and lack of submission to authority. And you can watch it. They will have many more sins crop up in their life, and usually their life goes on a downhill spiral only to end up in a sad, sad situation. And you know, if we don't submit to the authorities that God has given us in the home and the church, you know what? God raises up other authorities. I know boys around here who have lived like that. Today they have no driver's license, you know, or not for a couple of years because they have had so many speeding tickets or other traffic violations and their rebellion and wanting to do things their own way that today they can't drive. They have to ride a bicycle to work or something. Somebody has to go pick them up. Imagine the humility of that, you know. And they thought they had freedom and liberty in their rebellion. That doesn't look like liberty to me. It would be much better to kindly and lovingly submit to the authorities that are around you. Love should flow. Love should flow. Like I say, I so enjoy. You have no idea, or maybe you have a little bit of an idea, what a joy it is to me when this kind of love and understanding and oneness flows among us. And we are one in Christ and one in a family. And there's no gaps and no generation difference. That is, you can just share most anything. And that is so, so good to be able to live that way. I encourage you to be respectful, like I said, in every way. It's not really that hard to do what you're told. Usually when you get into employment, then I see a lot of young people that can't hold a job because of the fact they have never learned just to do what they're told and do it right and do it well. And if you do that, you know, in today's labor dearth or labor shortage, how fast you can climb the ladder? I mean, it's amazing. You see 21-year-old youth, 22, who are foremen, who are in charge of building crews and framing crews and given to a house to do the plumbing and saying, go ahead, do it. You know how to do it. I see those kind of things because they have responded right and opened their hearts to do what they're told. And you, I tell you, and your wages will reflect that. Somebody just recently tried to make some comparison with the wages of these young men that go to work at 17, some of them even at 16 or even 15. But, you know, there's some different views on that, on the high school diploma, and some at 17, but between 17 and 24 years of age and some little higher, depending how many years you go to college. And they end up then to take a job that actually doesn't pay any more, in some cases less with their education than the young man who availed himself and was under authority and rose in dependability and responsibility. And by the time he's 24, he has a job that pays more than the educated person who graduated from college. Somebody did that comparison in the world and began to see that. Why do I, and now I have all this student debt and I don't have any better job than John Smith down there. The amazing thing. And I recommend it very highly, whether you take high school or not. Learn a trade. Do your best. Be dependable. Be honest. And you will climb the ladder. In almost all cases, you will soon be drawn up to take more and more responsibility. And you know something else? I hope you realize that there are many, many times and you can wiggle your way through without a blessing or recognizing the authority of a church. But do you know what happens when we leaders are asked about your life in light of courtship? And that happens a lot where young men ask us also about a young girl and what her reputation is in the church, or vice versa. A young girl comes to us and says, well, a certain man, and sometimes your father does it to us, a young man has come and asked for my daughter, do you know him? Who is he? What kind of reputation is he has? And we stand at that place where we can and need to give an honest counsel concerning the situation. And sad is the situation when we have to say, well, they're not doing very well. They're chafing under authority. They're have their head full of other opinions and seem to be very critical of the church. And we're having struggles with them. And what could have been and should have been perhaps a beautiful courtship gets dissolved. Nothing ever happens. Nothing ever goes further. The father says no, and because of it, and our hearts nearly break to be able to see what should have been and could have been, but did not take place because of the lack of respect and honor in authority. And the same I could say for your spiritual lives. We see you carnal. We see you pushing the line all the time, pushing the standards of your home or church, and just never content and submissive and a sweet spirit about you and a good relationship with your authorities. I tell you, if you want a good marriage, you want a good courtship, you lift that standard and that principle up in your life, and I promise you it'll go much smoother and you'll be blessed in a much, much greater way if you are able to do that. So it's a very big subject, I know that, but I'd just like to say there are so many good things that can be done and should be done in this manner. And just lay your guns down and learn and try to gain wisdom from older people who have gone the way before you and have had a lot of good and bad experiences perhaps, and you can spare yourself in an amazing way. You know, I have had the experience here in the last couple of years to have had young people in the Bible school in the early days and now have their children here, and now they're married and they're having children, and I can't turn my hand for the difference between what I had with mom and dad and I had with son and daughter today. You know what a thrill that is to us to see some continuation like that of the faith and of the standards of which they live by, and then the love that is comes our way from both. We get invited to their weddings and we're there to bless them and enjoy what we see, and it's just really a wonderful thing. Well, there are many other places we could go with this. We know there are many examples in the scripture of this. I think you already have had Joseph lifted up before you, perhaps, in this in this series or this Bible school, but there is an example of one who, I mean, he just did what he was told. Daniel's another one. I just love Daniel, you know. And then when the people tried to push him out of his loyalty to God, he went and opened the window just like a fourth time and set his face toward Jerusalem and prayed three times a day like he had always done. And God was with him. But when the king in both Joseph and Daniel and numerous others, the three Hebrew children I think were the same way, when they observed that kind of response to authority, even the fact when Daniel disobeyed, the honor came back upon him, and Nebuchadnezzar or the king, Darius or whatever, made Daniel's religion, he wanted that to be the religion of the country, you know, through it. I mean, there was amazing things done, but he just did what he was told. And God gave him wisdom, and God honored him for it. And like I say, it's not that hard. I just want to tell you that some of you, when you get to a point of responsibility in life later on, and you get to be a foreman and you get all the problems, there's numerous people that say, I just wish some days I could go back and just do what I was told. Give me a set of wrenches, or give me a hammer, or give me something to do, and I wouldn't have to worry. I'd go home tired and eat a good meal and sleep a good night without all the cares that I have, and with my job and the responsibility that I have. That happens. Other men, I remember the time when we did our government service and left home, and I was very fortunate in that I got married just before we left for service, but a lot of boys left at 18. I didn't leave that early quite because I was on a farm. And they say, my, I went home this weekend and I put my feet under my dad's table and it felt so good just to put my feet under my dad's table, you know, and just feel he was in charge, he was in authority, and you know, I just blend in with the whole thing. And once again, when they were out there and had to do their own thing, make their own decisions perhaps, and some of them even had to make their own meals, you know, and so on, in those 2-year times that we were drafted into the service for the government. But I just encourage you, don't give your parents or those in authority a key or two out of the ring. Give them the whole bunch. You know, just simply take that position. It is the sweetest and most blessed relationship that exists on earth, I believe, to have the honor and respect of the authorities in your life and have that sweet, submissive spirit that can be seen a long ways off by those of us who are able to sense it and see it and experience it many times over. And once again, I want to say in closing, if you do have a very sad or difficult situation, seek some counsel in your life. Perhaps you need a mediator between your authorities and you to see if something can be worked out. We have seen some good things come to pass in that way too. But I think the scripture is very clear to give you instruction, give you many examples of authority. I think of Timothy and Titus and how they followed Paul, and they got the honor to be called my son in the faith, you know, and they were then ordained and sent out to ordain others in other cities, and they were young men, and Paul turned around and instructed them, said, don't let anybody despise your youth. Don't let anybody say you're too young, you can't do these things. If you're under authority, you'll be able to do things that other boys cannot do, and you will be respected for it, and you'll have opportunities. And it is a joyful life. Let me tell you, the submissive life is a joyful life. You will have much less turmoil in your chest in your heart when you are under authority in a godly way. But don't look at it just negatively at all the bad that's going on, like I've tried to do in this message, but give ideas one with another how we can enhance this thing. If you're a bit in a strained position this morning with your parents, in closing here, I would just simply like to say you need to have a talk with them. We have preached messages like this in the past when phone calls were made. And the parents turned around and called us and said, what has happened to my son or my daughter? I can tell the difference in their voice. You know, and it may not be just conversion, but simply when they have laid down the axe they were grinding and the chafing that they were doing and saying, Dad, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm coming home a different person, and you'll find me to be obedient to the things that you have asked for me. The things that I have that are not in order, I'm going to get rid of. Make that a priority of your week here. If you're under authority, God bless you, and come back again and continue to grow in your life. And we're here to bless you and to watch God do wondrous things in your life. But if you have a strain, I beg you in Jesus' name, try to resolve that strain. Maybe you have to wait till you get home and then give it a day or so to recoup from your travels and then say, Dad, Mama, I need to talk. And sit down and talk the thing over. I recognize that I've been chafing under your rule. I haven't responded right. I have questioned and challenged you in some of the things you have wanted of me or I have said, and just simply resolve the issue there. It would be good that you could do it with a broken heart. Just do it with a broken heart and submit yourself. Young men, likewise, all of you together, I ask you, resolve the conflicts. Conflicts take years off of your life, really. And cause a lot of problems both physically, mentally, and spiritually in your life in days to come. Resolve those conflicts and bring peace into your life and in your home, into your situation. And then if you ever have a difficulty that you can't get through, there are others that would be able to help you and guide you in it. So thank you so much once again for your attentiveness here this week. I have enjoyed to be able to do this, and God has given me the strength and grace to do it. And I love you very much. I seek to have the relationship that I have with a number, with many more. And God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.